Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. This is Trumpet Radio Live, the Tuesday edition. There's no more smoking in the Philippines. Sorry to tell you if you like smoking. Details about that coming up. They're cracking down over there. Mental health problems growing on college campuses. Probably not a surprise, but some startling details. A man survives a bear attack. How did he do it? We'll tell you that. And Hillary Clinton supporters online, are they real? Or are they manufactured out of thin air? Interesting question. Got a story about that coming up on Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And you can find us on the TuneIn app. Just search for KPCG, and there we'll be. Myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon. Thanks for joining us today on Trumpet Radio Live. There's a lot happening in the Philippines. Their president over there, President Rodrigo Duterte, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. He cracks the whip.
Yeah, I like it.
there's one of our college students that's here at Herbert W. Armstrong College. Well, several are from the Philippines. One in particular, Gino Chi, who's on the air here with us at times. Duterte was actually the governor of his area, or I can't remember exactly, but he had some rulership over the area that he was in. So it's kind of interesting. We'll have to get him on at some point and talk about that. He said it. He got stuff done, whether people agreed or not. Here's the latest. The Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte outlaws smoking after ordering the deaths of thousands of drug dealers. Mr. Duterte, who is known as the Punisher, it's quite the nickname, and I would imagine other people gave it to him, which would make it a valid nickname. If you give yourself a nickname, it doesn't work. He had already stubbed out smoking in Davao, where he used to be mayor, and now he has taken the controversial ban nationwide. He says there will be no smoking, this is the health secretary saying this, there will be no smoking in public places anymore, whether indoor or outdoor. Well, that's pretty much it. You can't be, there's no third option, right? Indoor or outdoor.
Well, in public places, right, though. So what if you hid
in
the house?
That's true. That's true. Yeah, public places. So it's I guess at home they could probably do it.
It's like the millennium or something. No smoking anymore.
Yeah.
Get rid of all the drug dealers.
it's in a lot of ways really, really good. I guess if you have a addiction to it, it'd be tough. But
yeah,
they say parks, bus stations, and even in vehicles, all these are considered public places. So they have a pretty broad specification there, I guess, for public places. It is expected the ban will be phased in over the next month, and the e-cigarettes are also included in the ban because they also produce smoke. So they're going to get rid of that over there in the Philippines. No more e-cigarettes.
No more secondhand smoke for the most part.
No. I don't see people smoking that much anymore.
No.
Every once in a while you run across somebody that's smoking, but for the most part it seems pretty rare. I think people have gotten the message that that's really bad for you.
Yeah, and it is blocked in a lot of places. I think there has to be, you have to be in a smoking section of a restaurant. Even sports arenas have a place outside. You have to go outside the arena to smoke. So pretty much smoking is quite the inconvenience on top of it being unhealthy.
In airports, sometimes you see where they've got like the glass room.
Yes.
And it's just full of smoke. Everyone's sitting in there smoking, and I feel bad for them. They're kind of trapped in there, but I'm glad that it's not out by us. In Canada years ago, I was in a cafe and people were smoking. A lot of people were smoking. And, I said, well, I'd like to sit in the non-smoking section. They said, no problem. So they put me on the table across the aisle from all the smokers.
Oh,
it still came over, you know? And so I couldn't even eat there. I actually had to leave because it was just so thick. So, I really appreciate the fact that it doesn't happen a lot there. Of course, these e-cigarettes, that's kind of a thing that I guess some people do. And I've seen a sign, and it makes me laugh every time I've seen it. It's here locally in the Edmond area. It's for an e-cigarette shop. And the sign says, smoke like you mean it. I laugh every time I see that. I'm like, is that a problem? Are there people smoking but they don't really mean it?
Just nonchalantly smoking, just half-heartedly. Yeah. I guess I'll have another one.
Yeah, don't be half-hearted. You smoke like you mean it. So I was chuckle at that sign. Every time we pass it, I have to make a comment to my wife about it. She's probably like, okay, I got the joke, but it just to me, it's funny. So I don't know. Smoke like you mean it. I'm like, are you threatening me? Is this a dare?
Smoke, I mean it.
Yeah, strange signs. We were talking about this the other week a little bit. There's students at different colleges are just having more mental health issues. And this is a new report that's come out. Students flood college mental health centers. Colleges from Ohio State to Central Florida devise more programs to triage students, determining who needs therapy and who may be fine with some peer counseling. So it's interesting when you look at this, because I guess there's kind of two ways to maybe look at it. One would be, oh, get a hold of yourself. You're just over-exaggerating. And the other would be, well, maybe people are just... this is a result of other problems. I'm not totally sure which way it goes here. But, you know, it's interesting, too, because sometimes we highlight just some of the ridiculous stuff that happens on college campuses. And you look at that, and then you look at a report like this, and I think, well, sure. I mean, if everyone's being microaggressed and they're being told that everyone's out to get them and they're persecuted all the time, it would start to mess with your mental health, I would think. I would think there'd be a tie in there.
Well, the fact that they have something called triage on a college campus, that is usually reserved for the bloodiest portions of battle. And
yeah.
Now they have to use it for the mental health of students. Something is clearly wrong.
There's a talk about a couple of colleges here. One of them is Ohio State. They have a twice weekly meeting called Beating Anxiety Workshop. And the doctor in charge of that is a clinical psychologist who works at the university's counseling center. Business is good, I guess, for him. It says the workshop advises students to tackle anxiety by exercising, getting enough sleep, and reframing catastrophic thoughts, such as, if my friend doesn't text me right back right away, she hates me, into more logical ways, like maybe she's studying, among other strategies. So they're dealing with some of these strategies. You know, anxiety is a real issue for some people, and it's tough. But in some cases, I wonder, again, if this is just people being a little too sensitive to things. They had a picture there of these college students playing with a parachute. You ever do that in grade school where they get the parachute out and you all grab a corner and you play with it? It was fun when I was like 7, but I don't know that I'd want to spend my time playing with a parachute now with other adults. I don't know what that's supposed to do, but I guess that helps with anxiety.
Yeah, the only thing I could see that being useful for in the future is if you're part of the military and you stretch the American flag across an entire football field. That's the only time I've seen adults doing anything like that.
Really interesting, some of the things they're trying to do there. So, but they say it is one part of Ohio State's effort to cope with the dramatic increase in the number of its 59,000 students on the Columbus campus seeking help for mental health issues. One college. Now that's, of course, a big school. And how can you get into some of the, I guess, supposedly deeper aspects of study or career preparation when you can't even handle day-to-day life? It seems like maybe they just aren't cut out for college, as one commenter on the story pointed out. Maybe they need to do something else.
Yeah, to think that your friend hates you because he hasn't texted back in 2 minutes, that's a bit extreme. I know a lot of people who don't text me back for days, but I don't really think twice about it. So it is a little bit extreme to think that a text could trigger someone's anxiety, or, you know, maybe a sideways look in the hallway, something like that could really send someone into a spiral.
Yeah. At the University of Central Florida in Orlando, the increase has been about 12% each year over the past decade. At the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, demand for counseling center services has increased 36% in the last 7 years. So the number has jumped quite a bit. According to the last survey nationwide, the number is 95,761 students that are seeking some sort of mental health. So that is a huge number still. And not that people don't need some help and some counseling occasionally about a few things, but some of these anxieties they're talking about are, again, it's kind of the question, is it just being oversensitive or is it a result of other problems? Probably a combination of both.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like these are just minor issues that are having to be worked with, where you might tell a friend, I feel a little bit stressed about the upcoming test. This is seeking counseling from a school counselor, and that usually means that the problem's a lot harder to deal with and the student's being eaten up by it.
Yeah. One guy commenting on the story, his name's John Vincent, this is his take on it. He says, get a grip. He said they should have tried growing up in the 50s, I guess, when this guy grew up. He says, crouching under your desk when the air raid sirens went off, or worse yet, facing the wall in the hallway when they thought a nuclear attack was imminent. Those were the good old days, he says. Somehow we managed to survive, and very few counselors to help with the quote-unquote stress. So a few commenters brought that out. I guess that's kind of the older generation's take. You know, get a hold of yourself. You didn't have to, you know, go through this or fight in a war, those types of things. So interesting. It's just interesting to look at. But again, I think if you go back to some of the things they're teaching on those campuses and some of the things people are getting upset about, I think it would lead to a little bit of an instable or an unstable mind. Mm-hmm. And this is probably a result of that. There's this hiker out in California who stumbled upon two bears, or they stumbled upon him, I guess. They met mutually. and he was attacked, and he survived the attack. I've heard a lot of different things about how to survive a bear attack. I've heard one side of it is just lay there and do nothing. The other side I've heard, make a lot of noise. What have you heard?
Well, I know that you can't outrun one because they're actually deceptively fast. So laying there and doing nothing would have to be maybe the best hope, or getting up a tree, possibly, or maybe making noise, but I don't really see why that would work.
Aren't they climbers? Don't bears get up there?
Yeah, but if you're above them, you could kick them in the face. That's my vision.
That's your vision of what would happen.
Just really hard, as many times as you can.
this guy out in California, he was hiking near his home Monday, and he survived, thankfully, this terrifying encounter with two bears. Dan Richmond had walked about 2 miles on the Mount Wilson Trail in the National Forest up there, which I've been there actually when I was a kid. So I'm having flashbacks. I didn't see any bears, but thankfully. But so he was confronted by a large bear. He says, all of a sudden I saw this bear standing on its hind legs, and I'd never seen a bear in person before, so I was pretty freaked out. I would be too. The standing bear was taller than him, said Richmond. Richmond's 5'11", so pretty good sized bear. He says, I turn around, and there's another bear coming out towards me. At that point, I was trapped. So imagine that. It's bad enough. You got one bear looking at you, and now you got another one.
Ooh.
So he says, I yelled at the top of my lungs to attempt to scare it away. And the noise initially seemed to work as one of the bears retreated about 5 or 6 feet. And I thought, maybe this is my chance to run right on past him.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's when one of the bears attacked him. He says, it's hard to imagine until one attacks you and you just feel the strength of its jaws and its body, which, I mean, yeah, you can imagine. 54-year-old Richmond told KTLA from his hospital bed. He said, he first grabbed my wrist. He actually put his mouth around my neck, and I just stayed really, really still. So at this point, he just does nothing, which is kind of what I always heard growing up. I guess probably the difference would be maybe make noise to try to scare it away, and then if it attacks, lay still. I'm not sure exactly.
I think you have to play dead. Yeah, I don't think they'd be as interested if the prey is already dead.
Yeah, that's what I'd always heard. So I thankfully haven't had to try it. and probably in some ways, what are you going to do? You know, you can't do anything anyway. He says, once I knew that he was attacking me, I did not fight back. I just stayed silent. I was down on my hands and knees, and I was perfectly still because it was the only chance that I had. He says the bear was on top of him, but after a while, it says he kind of eased up, probably because he just thought the game is over, or the threat is over. I mean, you see that with cats, right? They'll kill something, and then they'll kind of bat it around, and they're like, "Eh, done with you."
And they don't even really eat it usually.
Yeah, most cases they leave it decapitated in front of your door. As my cat does very often.
Destroyed your welcome mat.
You destroyed our welcome mat. Yeah. Thanks for nothing. We got a new one, so, but yeah, the other one we had to get rid of. That's an aside. So the bear eased up on him, and he says, I got up and walked away. He says, once I thought I was clear, I started running down the mountain, and so he was able to get away. That would be such a strange feeling, wouldn't it? You're just walking out like, well, guess that's it. I guess I made it. I'm okay.
Tumbles headlong down the mountain, but that's better than being attacked by a bear.
Yeah. I mean, he had some injuries, obviously, but he looks like he'll be okay. So that's a frightening ordeal, I can imagine. I've seen, thankfully, nothing up close, but, you know, at the zoo, you take a look at some of those bears, and they're fun. They're fun to watch, and they're kind of funny until they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out in the wild with them. So I've never seen anything out in the wild that's been really that threatening. Maybe a snake once or twice. You ever see anything?
Not really. I've heard the sound of wild boars in the distance when I've been in the woods in Arkansas on that yearly backpacking trip that they have. And it's pretty interesting because those things are actually extremely vicious.
Yeah.
So thankfully they didn't come very near us.
Yeah, that my dad always had a story from back in his hunting days about being chased by a wild boar. So it chased him. I think he got up a tree to get away from it. But they are pretty vicious, like you say.
Yeah.
Not something you typically think of, but you know, they are pretty vicious. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's funny. I mean, if you think about animals in general, thankfully they don't get together and plan things out.
I know.
Because they could do a lot of damage. You can get a bunch of neighborhood cats together, plan something out. What are you going to do? There's nothing you could do.
Well, they could overrun us probably.
Sure.
Unless we had a stockpile of ammunition.
Yeah. Yeah, but thankfully they don't do that. As far as I know, they haven't done it yet.
We're in charge of the animals.
We always have right outside the studio here window, we always have kind of the battle of nature. Like, birds are always attacking each other. There's this one big bird, and these bunch of little ones like chase him, and then he chases them. And one day I came in, and actually that giant bird was sitting in our tower, our radio tower, which bothers me. He was trying to listen to KPCG. We want to get a closer listen.
Mess up the signal for everyone else.
Yeah, he messed it up a little bit. But then a bunch of little birds came and attacked him and drove him away. So I was like, hey, they're kind of on our side.
Nice.
So anyway.
You sure it wasn't a mating ritual?
Far as I know. But
not even the same kind of bird.
Probably not. I'm not sure how that works in the animal kingdom.
Pretty aggressive. They attack the birds attack each other in midair. It seems really dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, there's battles going on all the time. We're just going through our days and drinking our lattes, and there's life and death struggle out there.
Can you imagine if humans just, as part of our everyday lives, we just attacked each other like that?
Man, some places are like that, aren't they?
You know, well, yeah.
Bad places in the world where survival is a question of the day. Thankfully, we don't typically run into that, but it does happen some places. We talked a little bit, I think it was yesterday, about some of the sugar in drinks, and there can be quite a bit. There's a kind of a new study out about sugar. Lo and behold, it's even worse than they thought. They say the new bad news is that sugar does more damage to our bodies than we originally thought. It was once considered to be just another marker for an unhealthy diet and obesity. Now sugar is considered an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease as well as many other chronic diseases, according to a study published Monday in the, whatever that thing is, the Internal Medicine, the JAMA, I'm not sure what that stands for, Journal of American Medicine, maybe? Anyway.
Possibly.
I should have looked
that
up.
Sounds just about right.
Just makes me think of Jamba Juice.
Jamas. Pajamas.
But so they say, well, here's the question. How much is too much? Turns out not nearly as much as you may think, as a few doctors and scientists have been screaming for a while now. A little bit goes a long way, especially the added sugars. That's where the most of the problem is. Those are more harmful as opposed to the naturally occurring sugars in, say, you know, fruit or something like that. So they give some kind of guidelines, but I don't even think it's really worth getting into because it's kind of a guess, and they change their guesses all the time. The short of it is don't have too much. It can cause problems. And more problems, not just weight and some of those problems, but other diseases as well.
Mm-hmm. And it is sad at this point that we still have to have scientists telling us that sugar is bad. I think that just shows how addictive it is, because at this point we probably should know that sugar could cause a problem. We have documentaries like Super Size Me out there that say, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have McDonald's three times a day for an entire month, when we probably should know that before watching the documentary.
Yeah, that was a really good documentary.
It was.
Really changed, I think, a lot of people's thinking. But it's funny, they had that guy at the end that ate it every day, and he's like, I'm fine. There's always that one person.
It kind of made me hungry for McDonald's. I was at least smart enough to know not to have it all the time for a month.
Yeah, it's just, that's a lot. But everybody knows that one person that no matter what the bad thing is, it's like, well, they've done it for years and they're 115 years old.
I've tried rat poison every day. No effect.
It's always that one that everyone holds up. And but for most people, of course, it does cause some problems. So that's one of the big issues. I think we had a story a couple weeks ago or months ago about how really if you look back, they've had some reports come out that if you look back years ago when they were trying to link a lot of diseases to sugar, the sugar industry got together and said, no, let's push the blame at fat. And so there was such a big push to get rid of all the fat. While your body needs fat, good fat, and the sugar's become the bigger issue. And so it's been kind of a purposeful game there for a while.
Yeah, that has been a big part of the problem with people's ignorance is that different industries are trying to misdirect the blame onto each other. And sugar particularly is a pretty smart industry because look how many products they still sell and look how good they are at possibly passing off the blame.
Well, and the difficulty is that the sugar shows up in so many things. It's not just the obviously sugar drink or something like that. Your body breaks down certain carbohydrates, especially simple ones, I think, into sugar, mm-hmm. you know, and so you can have a lot of things and think, well, not realize how much sugar you're consuming. So it really is a lot. Sometimes they show you those graphics where it shows like a pile of sugar and this is how much, and you look at that and you're like, wow, I need like a snow shovel to consume all of that. Wouldn't that be something at the end of the day or the end of the week you could see like your own chart? Like, here you go. Here's what you did this week.
I wouldn't want to see that chart. That would be quite alarming.
It would be.
Yeah, I think we have that show, The Joys of Health, that plays on this mm-hmm. radio station from time to time. And here we are, and I'm trying the Whopperito sometimes. But it is at my own risk, though. It is something that we understand is not necessarily something we want to do very often. All in balance.
Speaking of, you... If you ever go to Red Robin.
Oh, yes. Here's another challenge.
We went there the other day, which we don't go too often because it is, it's pricey for one, but yeah, that's a lot of calories. But once in a while we go there. So we went there and the kids are all excited. You know, they want to get something. So my son, he convinced me to allow him to get the mac and cheese cheeseburger.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you had it?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So you've already had it. You don't need to test
Anytime
it out.
Anytime they have macaroni and cheese on a burger at whatever restaurant, I'll probably try it.
Yeah.
And it's not even really that great, but it's just so rare to see.
Kids love it. Yeah. Can't get enough of mac and cheese for some reason.
Did he convince you to get the endless root beer float too?
No, we didn't do that one.
Good call.
I think.
Because they're very large too.
Yeah. Yeah. The endless root beer float does not lead to an endless life. There is an end. The end is in sight.
The endless root beer float will end you.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting combination. I guess they're just running out of stuff, so they got to combine other things.
Yeah.
Of course, this happened. You familiar with the actor Shia LaBeouf? Is that
Shia LaBeouf? I think.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, he says has a pretty strange name.
Yeah, it's Shia LaBeouf. I know it. Like when I see it, I recognize it, but I don't think I've heard it pronounced. Mm. He's been in Transformers, a few other things. He's a bit of an eccentric character. He's out there doing some strange things. He's known for his quirky stunts, they say, in the name of art, quote-unquote. On Monday, he live-streamed his wedding to this actress that I've never heard of in a ceremony officiated by an Elvis Presley impersonator in Las Vegas. So we've just had some nice weddings around here. You just got married recently, and maybe a little too soon. This was an idea you might have wanted to incorporate.
Well, it was considered, I'll tell you that much. I've seen it. I've seen the idea out there. But I thought maybe that would be a good idea.
I've been past that little chapel out there. It's kind of small. It's not mm-hmm. That big. But sometimes people go out there for those quick weddings. So it was live streamed for those that were, I don't know, just really had nothing else to do. TMZ, that entertainment celebrity website, they streamed it, and representatives for both actors did not respond to Reuters for a comment.
Oh, bummer.
I don't know. I don't know what you'd say about it. But I think this is all summed up in one comment here by Chester11. He says, it's nice to know that the younger generation takes marriage seriously.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf has basically transformed himself into possibly the most popular actor because he's done all these weird things outside of his movies. He recently streamed every one of his movies in rapid succession, and it took 3 days. So 3 days straight, this movie theater was playing all of his movies, and people could walk in for free for as long as they could stand it and walk out, and he was there the whole 3 days.
And then they went to a mental health class down to Ohio State.
But, yeah, see Shia LaBeouf, and everyone, there was a gigantic line to get in there.
Really?
He also live-streamed himself taking calls, call center style, but basically just so fans could talk to him.
Hmm.
And another time, I think he was in a room with a paper bag over his head.
Yes.
For people to meet him, because the public perception was that his recent movies had been garbage.
Yeah. he was part of a art exhibit, quote-unquote, I think, where he sat inside of a box.
Oh, yeah.
Like a glass box, and people could look at him. So strange stuff. But, you know, that's the thing about all these individuals. Their lifeline, their livelihood, it's about being in the public eye. And so people do some really strange things, and you think, well, that's ridiculous. But what happens? It's in the eye. I mean, it keeps them on the radar.
Right.
And so is it crazy, or is it crazy like a fox?
Yeah, that's right. He is really funny. Another thing he did. He's done so many strange things. He put a GoPro on his head, and then he had a female interviewer sit across from him with a GoPro on her head. And basically the whole time they sat there looking at each other for an hour without speaking. And you just have the split screen of the GoPro view of the other person from the camera on each other's heads. So pretty strange thing. And basically they'd stare at each other, and occasionally they'd laugh, but it was an entire hour of that.
It sounds like a really bad date that somebody might've been on one time.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
So of course that happened. All kinds of live streaming. You can live stream about anything, but most of it is of no value. So we'll see how long that lasts. Hopefully it does, but who knows?
He would be endless fun, that's for sure. Never know what to expect with someone like him.
You never know, that's for sure. Some of the strange things that are happening, some of the interesting things that are happening out there. The Key of David program's coming up in a little bit here on KPCG. One of the programs today is the End Time Elijah Has Come and Gone, a really important program. And one of the great booklets to get in relation to that is He Was Right. It talks about Herbert W. Armstrong and a lot of the prophecies he talked about for many years. Many of them, really all of them, coming to pass in a lot of ways. Some are more in the news right now than others, things in Europe and so forth. So make sure you get that booklet and listen for this program, The End Time Elijah Has Come and Gone. That's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. One of the things he talked about today is this unbelievable lack of morality that you see in the United States and in Britain, and in particular. And it's causing just so many problems. I mean, really, if you think about the college issue we talked about earlier with a lot of the mental health issues, I think probably a lot of it gets back to this, just the rampant immorality that's being pushed out there. And he talked about how the fact that all the while, you know, you have these groups that just are pushing some just radical perversion. They're pushing it on everyone, forcing it on everyone at the same time, claiming to be discriminated against. And so really it's a truly an upside down world. And while they're claiming that they're being discriminated against, they're actually being the bullies pushing it on everyone. We have just a really, really good book on that at thetrumpet.com, Redefining Family, which just highlight, and even that one, Joel Hilliker is the author of that, and he's the host of Trumpet Hour as well. And even he has said that needs to be updated, because it's only been a couple of years since it was written, but things have changed even since then. But he goes through and highlights just how there's been such a push and such an agenda to make, just destroy the family as we knew it. And you see it everywhere, and what are the fruits of it? Well, I don't know. I would think part of it is all these people in college, these students, needing mental health help.
There really are rabid mobs everywhere looking to persecute Christians or people who enjoy how things have always been in this country and don't necessarily think things should change overnight. Why is it that a homosexual couple has to pick out the one Christian bakery in town? How many bakeries are in a town? Probably at least 10, something like that, in your average town. And they purposely pick out the one that they know can't do it. It is really just a mindset of bullying, and it's happening pretty much everywhere in almost every area, too.
Yeah, those things have been in the news. It's really encroaching upon freedom of religion. I think Massachusetts has some new laws about that, where if you're having what they consider to be a public meeting, you have to allow people to use whatever restroom they want. You have to call them by whatever pronoun they prefer. And so if you don't agree with that, you're being told to, you know, really shut up or else. I'm not sure what the or else is at this point, if there's some, you know, real criminal or something they could bring against you, some sort of criminal charge or not. I'm not totally sure on how that works. But, again, it is a bullying mentality, and people are just terrified to say, you know, I don't – that's not right.
Right.
And so that's talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today, which I'm really glad he brought it up because who else is talking about it?
Yeah, that and that term liberal is so inaccurate today because the people who call themselves liberals are really forcing their way on everyone else. The liberal idea is to be able to live your own lives without too much oversight, and pretty much those people who call themselves liberals are becoming totalitarian, where no other beliefs are ever tolerated.
Yeah. It's really getting to be quite strange. I think you hear people say all the time, well, I never thought it would get this out of whack or this strange, or that people would come up with these sorts of ideas. And but things are changing, and it's, again, Redefining Family is a great book. You can get it at thetrumpet.com that highlights that, and really listen for this Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's coming up here in just a bit with your host, Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. If you miss it live or you can't catch a replay, you can download the archives at kpcg.fm. Listen at your leisure. this is an interesting write-up here, Grant. You've got from stream.org, AstroTurf outrage machine of paid trolls floods social media to counteract negative news about Hillary Clinton. I feel that is one long title. Got to unpack that. Basically, they're saying, look, there's this whole presence online trying to show this great support for Hillary Clinton, but people are being paid to, you know, create these identities, I guess, and get this message out, and it may not be actual people for each identity doing it.
This article clearly contradicts one we talked about probably a couple months ago from Time magazine about trolls and how basically the alternative right in this country was blamed for all of the trolling. These are trolls who are on the radical left supporting Hillary Clinton. So really, trolls know no bounds. Trolls are everywhere. And these trolls are paid to support Hillary Clinton. It's pretty hilarious, some of the things that are pointed out in this article. They're called AstroTurf Trolls, a large team of supporters who spend long hours responding to negative news on the internet about Hillary Clinton. It's pretty much funded by the Clinton Super PAC Correct the Record, which acknowledged back in April that they spent $1 million on this Breaking Barrier project to fund trolls to cancel out negative news about her. At this point, it's up to $6 million, over $6 million spent on this troll campaign. Back in April, it was only $1 million. So in the past 6 months, they've spent $5 million more.
That's an amazing amount of money. It makes me think that when you see those commercials that say, do you want to earn money from home, and you see somebody typing in their bedroom, maybe you can.
You really can.
She'll hire you. But, you know, that is really interesting. I guess I hadn't thought too much about it. But if you see a particular news story, you can almost guarantee what the comments will be. Usually one way or the other, they're going to, and you read them, you're like, oh yeah, that's what I knew they would say. So I bet it is a lot of people just kind of pushing this. I don't know how they do it, if it's a cookie cutter response, or, you know, if it's exactly the same, or they have some freedom there, but basically it's the same idea. And so with Hillary Clinton, I mean, boy, the media, obviously they've admitted, hey, we are all behind her. We're going to do everything we can. And then for any news outlet that has something negative, you got these people coming in on the other side and doing all this other stuff. I mean, it's pretty dishonest. It's very dishonest.
It is.
So it's a campaign of lies, I guess.
Yes, and it does show the willingness to win at all costs, no matter what is sacrificed, whether it be integrity or honesty here. And I also thought about some of the rallies I've seen from both sides. Donald Trump has been selling out stadiums to see his rallies, and Hillary Clinton got caught paying or bringing in a couple hundred actors to one of her rallies because no one was showing up. So how does that match with the coverage we're seeing online, where it seems overwhelmingly positive toward Hillary Clinton instead?
You know, it reminds me. I saw this story yesterday. I almost brought it up, but I just, it was so ridiculous. But now it fits in. There was a, you know, you've heard of these flash mobs. People get together and they want to do something. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's just silly. Mm-hmm. They want to all dance or something. So somebody got this, supposedly got this flash mob together for Hillary Clinton and all kinds of different races and both genders and everything else. We're all wearing pantsuits like she wears. And they were doing like this choreographed dance to some sort of catchy song. And then they made it into a video to like show their support for her. And people, they put it up and people were commenting on it like, this is what we need. This is hope. This is togetherness. And it's like, well, just take a step back. I mean, it's just a bunch of people wearing pantsuits dancing. I mean, what is that going to solve? And it just makes me think like, was that a spontaneous event that somebody just did that? Because that's what they were pitching it like. Like, well, these supporters just came together. That seems a little ridiculous. You know, and you hear things like this, it makes you wonder what's real and what's not. It's like a land of mirages.
That's right, yeah. It seems like something like that could have easily been paid for to make the public think that Hillary Clinton's campaign is one of unity and togetherness, saying that they're stronger together. That's her campaign slogan. And I've also noticed that the Democrat side has really gotten into the pop culture side of things to try and sway voters in that way. I saw Mr. Obama was recently talking to the rapper Macklemore. One of the Democrat senators running in one of these state elections did the dab move on stage during a debate. What is with all this stuff? It's like we're descending to the lowest of the low to try and bring people in. Pop culture is not something that should have anything to do with the presidency, especially.
Oh, yeah, we've really seen that over the last 8 years, especially the talk show appearances, the dancing, what is that? One of the late shows does like this slow jam news or something,
yeah,
where the actual president of the United States was on there.
I've seen Republicans getting into it now.
Yeah,
everybody. I think it's a response to what we've seen recently.
Because they want to get, again, it's like that ridiculous wedding story we had. Yeah. They just want to stay in the public eye and be in the limelight. I mean, you know, Saturday Night Live used to be, they would parody everybody. Now the actual people are coming on. You know, the politicians are actually making appearances and sketches.
That's right.
To get across some sort of message, which is usually just to try to endear themselves to, I guess, the younger generation. And, you know, you think back a few years, I'm like, well, I don't think some of the more dignified leaders of this country would have touched that with a 100-foot pole.
Exactly. And that just fits in with how really both sides now are using less dignified measures to try to win power. Here in this case, paid trolls. The trolls, that concept just cracks me up to no end. Someone going online and bugging people because he has nothing else to do, I guess. But these trolls don't just defend Hillary Clinton. A lot of the time they actually target and intimidate those who criticize her. They're going after just random people online, whether it's on Reddit or Facebook, all these different mediums. So if you happen to see someone who suspiciously has a new account online and every single post since the account was created have to do with Hillary Clinton. And in some posts, there's one example where in some of these posts, the person said, I'm a single mother. And the other one said, like, I'm an Asian school teacher, like totally different descriptions of who the person is.
Right.
And then the more studious people online would do some research into who these trolls are and call them out for it.
You know what's so amazing about this, too, is it's a pretty sophisticated use of technology. I mean, I'm sure there are those that know, well, this is really easy to do. But for a lot of people, it would be kind of a sophisticated way to go about things. And this is the same party, the same group that just says, oh, I don't know what happened to those emails. I don't know where they are.
Yeah. Very tactical, though.
But they're hiring people to go out there and make fake personas online to intimidate people. It's amazing, you know. They must have brushed up. They must have gone and got like, you know, Social Media for Dummies book and figured it all out in a couple of days.
Well, it's also the same party whose State Department lost $6 billion while Hillary Clinton was in control. So, yeah, some strange things happening where things are disappearing and yet they have all of the capabilities when it comes to some type of online espionage.
It is really getting to be a lot of people are getting sucked into the vortex of this battle, because you have, like, even now there's different supporters for the Democrats coming out and saying, you know, in response to WikiLeaks, saying, well, I think Russia's behind that. Maybe. You know, they don't have any proof. They just say that because it's kind of the narrative they want to push. And so WikiLeaks came out and said, no, we're not. But if you want to know something else about what you guys are doing, look at this link. And so you've got all these, like, battles beneath the actual people that are running for office. And it's getting pretty nasty.
It is. Yeah. And this article even points out how Hillary Clinton's trolls somewhat submarined Bernie Sanders' campaign as well. They came up with this Bernie bro concept, and apparently that was to establish a narrative that Bernie supporters are all racist, sexist young males who harass people online. And yet the trolls who Hillary Clinton hires are doing the exact same thing to people online.
That's amazing. It just like how conniving it all is to, you know, sit down in a room and, like, strategize on this type of thing and then come out there and smile and say, you know, I'd like to be a president for all people. And I mean, in the back room, you've got people going, you know, intimidating. it's really interesting. I mean, you're not supposed to be able to intimidate voters. I know that a lot of that happened in the last election at some of the voting polling stations. But there were accounts of actual physical intimidation. That's not supposed to be allowed. But besides that happening, now you have online intimidation, a media intimidation, major media in trying to intimidate everybody. It's different than it has been. I know. I mean, papers have always kind of gotten into it and gotten behind one candidate or the other. I think historically that's not unusual. But there are so many different ways you can intimidate people now, like a bunch of people sitting in a back room. I'm amazed they can't find more of these people. Like, that they don't talk. They don't come out and say, "Hey, I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm going to tell you like all the emails I used to send." You would think somebody would talk eventually.
Yeah, you would. Maybe they're just extremely loyal or threatened to stay quiet. That's probably more likely. Even one of the Clinton campaign staffers got into this online trolling business, Adam Parkomenko. He is the director of her grassroots engagement, but he was posting anonymously on a site threatening Trump supporters. He said, warning, participation in this slanderous witch hunt will result in legal action. Mrs. Clinton has been made aware of your childish attempt to slander her and your supporters. There will be consequences for your actions. And basically, Reddit found out who he was, and he deleted his account.
And that's such a hollow threat. What are you gonna? People have the right to say they don't agree with something. I mean, that's not... What are you going to do about it? You're going to go punish everyone that's ever gotten on the internet and said something? Well, that's everybody in America, isn't it? You know, pretty much. Wow, that's amazing that they're getting into it like that. That's really interesting. It would be a fascinating documentary. I mean, it would, to go into the inner workings of this type of machine and see just what's actually happening. We'll probably never really get a look at it, but it would be fascinating to watch. I think we'd probably all be really shocked.
Yeah, I don't think most of us realize the power of the internet in a lot of ways. There are so many different ways to influence people that we don't even realize. For example, one of the Clinton staffers made a Trump attack site, but they made it look like it came from the Bernie Sanders campaign. So there are so many different things like that.
Oh, you know what's so interesting about that is that in the debate on Sunday night, Hillary Clinton kind of went on a little bit of a she was talking about the campaign between her and Bernie Sanders and saying they ran a campaign that was based on mutual respect, and, you know, it was glad she was so proud to be part of it, and, you know, and really highlighting that. And then you see this. No respect there. That's just the worst kind of under the table, you know, dealings. You know, if you want to put your ideas forth, then you should put them forth. But to go and attack him this way, or to make a false website and to blame him, that's the respectful campaign? Wow.
Yeah, it really does make you wonder if any politicians are actually friends, because Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton now seem like they're the best of friends, but there were some dirty deeds going on when those two were running against each other. And then even Hillary Clinton calling Mrs. Obama one of her dear friends. And then Donald Trump said, well, look back at some of the ads they ran against you there, Hillary, because clearly they were not very respectful toward her either. it just gives you an example of how cutthroat politics really is, and it's a matter of beating people at all costs. And this article is another example of that. Paying trolls, really, that's how you're going to try to win the election?
Yeah, and it does just make you wonder, too, who's exactly kind of masterminding all of these things. You know, maybe it's the candidates themselves. I would tend to think it's not. I would tend to think there's somebody else kind of pulling the machine levers back there. So, of course, there's been some reports on that over the years, too. So, really fascinating to see some of those things.
Yeah.
What, can you imagine doing that? Like, you'd be in such a negative state of mind if your whole day was just to get up and write nasty stuff to people under like, this false persona that you created. You can't, like, relax and say, that was a good day of work, you know, and sit back and enjoy. You'd be so negative.
This is no casual trolling. This is not the occasional incendiary comment at the bottom of an article. This is all-day stuff where people are constantly going out there and threatening and intimidating people and putting people down. And there's even an example of someone who started Mooks Mafia back in 2009. And this article even says they've been using trolls since 2007.
Wow.
But this Mooks Mafia guy would just outright threaten Republicans and say, and he said, first, the mafia never separates. It just continues to grow and expand and move into other states in order to destroy Republicans.
Wow. that's interesting. Huh. Well, it just highlights, I
classy.
Guess, yeah. the corruption of it all. It's just getting to the point where the more you know, the worse it is, you know, the further you dig into that stuff. Interesting write-up, so you can see the rest of that. That is at stream.org. And the longest title in the history of man. AstroTurf outrage machine of paid trolls floods social media to counteract negative news about Hillary Clinton. You know, don't you long for the simpler times when the troll was just under the bridge?
Yeah.
He just asks you a riddle. Or insults you, I guess, when you walk by.
Trolls are now so complicated that they require a lengthy headline like that.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. One last story here today. This one is, I don't know. It could be shocking. It's probably not shocking. Nearly 7 in 10 Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. They say the U.S. is often referred to as the land of economic opportunity. Apparently, it's also the land of consumption and spend everything you've got. They say we don't have to look far for confirmation that Americans are generally poor savers. Every month, the St. Louis Federal Reserve releases data on personal household savings rates. In July 2016, the personal savings rate was just 5.7%. Comparatively, personal savings rate in the U.S. 50 years ago was double where they are today. And nearly all developed countries have a higher personal savings rate than the United States. In other words, Americans are saving less of their income than they should be. Their recommendation is to save between 10 and 15% of your annual income, and they're being forced to do more with less in terms of investing. So, do you find that surprising?
Not really, and it does seem like it wouldn't be too difficult to save 10 to 15%. I know a lot of people, they are pretty cash-strapped, but if some of the people who are the most vocal about having trouble making ends meet, they still have plenty of luxury items and things that they, you know, money that they set aside for entertainment every month that easily could be saved as well.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of reduce some of that. There's a interesting story I'd read about this gentleman online. He runs a website where they talk about, you know, how he changed his life and he's trying to do better financially and such. And he just got to the point where he had to get rid of the stuff. You know, he's like, I had a couple of cars and they were nice, but, you know, I was making payments on them. He had a really nice big house, but it was a big payment. Mm-hmm. And he was running into debt problems. And so he said it was really hard, and it took him about 2 years of just really, really paying attention to what he spent. But he was able to clear a lot of debt and get into a much better position. And but again, it's kind of that, I guess, keeping up with the Joneses mentality. Everybody feels like, well, I should have this or that or the other. Mm-hmm. And but it is kind of, it creates the illusion of wealth where it appears people have things, but yet don't probably have what we sometimes appear that we have because the savings just aren't there.
Yeah, recently I actually saw a very fancy car pull out of a tiny apartment, like a very plain apartment. So clearly this guy had priorities on the car over the apartment. at least he wasn't getting a gigantic house. He could easily afford the car, probably because the apartment was tiny and more affordable. And it just shows that sometimes if you can sacrifice on certain things, maybe you can spend a little bit more on enjoyment. It's just a matter of priorities, and we can't necessarily live like we are the 1% when we're definitely not even close. We can't have the best car, the best house, the best entertainment system. You know, we can't have the most expensive vacation package every year. At some point, we do have to sacrifice one of these areas and maybe have another area where we can enjoy a little bit more because we sacrifice in some places.
Well, if the 1% would just pay their fair share.
Fair share of 70% to 80% in taxes. That's what we all want. We want to get rich and then get taxed 70%, of course.
They give a couple of tips here that are pretty good. You've probably heard these in other forms before, but it's worth going over. Here's some things you can do to help you with your savings. One, they say you can use online budgeting tools. Budgeting is always an issue, and that's really where it begins and ends. Starting a budget and actually keeping to it. Mm-hmm. They say surround yourself with like-minded people. So in other words, if you are trying to save and your buddy wants to spend everything, maybe you should not spend as much time with your buddy unless he wants to pay for you.
Yeah.
They say also you might want to consider the use of separate accounts or cash. In other words, it's easy to just pile up the credit cards, but if you're actually dealing with cash, you see it disappear. You know, it is harder. I don't know if you found this, Grant, but I have. If I go to a store, it's harder for me to pay with cash. Like, there's something about it that's harder. I'm like, yeah, but if I buy that, then I don't have my money.
Mm-hmm.
But with a credit card, it's not hard.
Exactly.
Easy. Because there's no separation. I mean, there's no, I don't know, it's just different. Because you're not actually giving away that money.
That's true. I actually recently left my debit card in an ATM, and I guess the bank found it and they shredded my card. They didn't just keep it for me to come back and get it.
Right.
So I haven't had my debit card in about a month, and I've just been having to take out cash to pay for everything. And it's true. I have been spending less money, and you know, there's a clear cap on how much we can spend on groceries when I just hand my wife $100 and say that this is it. There can't be any more. A card, you could just go way past the limit at times.
Right. Well, you are wearing a suit made completely of gold today.
Yes.
So that's
I'm rapidly accumulating wealth.
Yeah. We have that guy that overseas, he bought a gold shirt. I think he got killed for it. It's like, you can't wear a shirt made out of gold.
Come on, man. Just a walking target.
People are going to take that from you. They say another thing that's maybe a good idea is to set up automatic withdrawals to where you don't have to sit there and actually budget it out every month. It's just automatically going there, and sometimes that can help too. A lot of this stuff is sort of some of it's online stuff, and I've heard other people say, yeah, sometimes you actually just have to write it down on the old-fashioned paper.
That's the best for me every time. I have a hard time keeping track of it digitally.
Yeah. Another thing they say is you should be smart. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-based with your budget. That's the thing. I think everybody gets to a point where you say, man, I really need a budget. I got to kind of right the ship here. But it can be discouraging because you can't do it in a day. You know, you can't be like, okay, I'll do this one thing. And that, I think that's with a lot of things in life. We all want to be able to do like one thing one day and have it all fixed. It doesn't work that way. It takes time, and it can be hard sometimes. But they say, you know, keep at it. And then finally they say, analyze your data monthly. Go back and look at what you did and what you spent, and that can be irritating. but it does help. But it's easy enough to just not do that and kind of ignore it. But then eventually you get into a bad situation. So some things you can do. We've got some good write-ups at thetrumpet.com about finances and how to work with those. And don't buy a gold shirt. That's number 7 on the list, the final point.
Avoid that at all costs.
Don't buy. Who are you going to sell it to when it's time to sell? You know, I don't. They'd have to melt it down, I guess.
Even if people did have the money, they probably wouldn't have the gaudy tastes.
I saw some people the other day in a shopping center, and they all had, I don't know if it was real or not. I assume it wasn't real, but they all had the gold, like, things they put in their mouths. I don't know if it was actual teeth or those grills or whatever, but there's like 5 or 6 of them guys, and they're all together, and they all had the teeth thing going on. I thought, wow, if that's real, that's actually a lot of money in that mouth right there.
Yeah, it makes it hard to kind of advance too far in life when you have a gold mouth. I mean, I think people are going to be taken aback by that. You can't really have an office manager or someone like that with a gold grill.
Yeah.
So maybe ditch the gold grills.
I don't know. But they all flock together. They all like the same sort of thing. So it's interesting to see some of the different trends that appear and then inevitably disappear. I saw that the other day. We were in the store and I saw, for some reason, they were selling a pair of jeans that was stonewashed. Now, that's before your time period, but that was back in the late 80s. Stonewash was really popular. Mm. Pretty hideous garment, but yet, for some reason, it was the thing. And I told my son, who's young, I'm like, these used to be the thing. And he's like, what? I'm like, I know, but everyone used to have them. And he's like, did you have them? I'm like, well, yeah, everybody had them.
What about the pre-ripped jeans, where you could easily just take a knife and slash out the knee of your jeans? And it would be the same thing.
You're not a jean connoisseur.
Not at all.
There's a very specific cutting technique that you pay a pretty penny for. That's where all my money goes. It falls out of the hole in my pants. That's why I don't have anything left. Maybe that'd be another good tip for saving some cash. Anyway, some of the things going on today in the world that we're all inhabiting together. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, Kia David program, and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Those are coming your way in just a little bit. You're listening to 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.